going to say lesson number 49. We're going to take a little different approach a little bit in this study. Now we've been building up on the issues of the prayer of Christian warriors and the issue of prayer. We're going to come back to that in great detail and begin to develop that subject out. Still in a little bit above milk in the meat or potatoes, but we still haven't got the prime rib of that, I assure you. They're more like the pork chops and sausage of it. With grits and red eye gravy, but southern style, speaking up north, you say, with mashed potatoes and gravy or rice and gravy. But we've introduced some key concepts and we're going to be building. We're going to have to look at a couple of things that are important in this class to help you understand things, because everybody doesn't advance and ever become a Christian warrior. A lot of it is for the Christian warriors who really become the most effective. It's those who come to more fully appreciate and understand the Lord Jesus Christ's heavenly position today. Before we begin, let's pause for solemn prayer to give you time to make sure you're on the filling of the Spirit. Through absolute objectivity, teaching the Word of God, shall we pray? Our God and Father, we thank you for the privilege of teaching your word. For your word is absolute truth. We claim your promise that your word will not return void, will accomplish all that you designed it for. And we ask you to sanctify and bless it. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray, saying, even so come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Living by the Word of God, being an effective Christian warrior. There are people who see someone who has professed to be a believer in Jesus Christ and they're not living for Christ. Obviously, their life doesn't reflect Christianity and Christian values, even though they may mention things about God and may show interest in God and may even have guilt trips at times. The struggles of life. A lot of believers write them off. Part of a Christian warrior's work, of course, is to pray for believers who have been captured by the enemy. Backslidden, spiritual reversionists. Backslidden is the old Baptist term, of course. Spiritual reversionists is the term that we use. More doctrinal circles means the same thing. You're going in reverse order. Backslide means you went back to live as if you were saved. Backsliding all the way back or part way back or whatever. Spiritual reversionism means you reverse process. Reverse is a term I taught you many years ago. Some of you were around back then. Shows you actually only go in reverse and back up and start living as if you weren't saved or whatever. But you turn around and go in reverse process. Reverse is and start chasing after the actual values of the world in a major way. There's a song called "Jesus Died for Me." When everything goes wrong and it seems all hope is gone, I remember how my Savior died. He died there on the cross so the world would not be lost. Jesus died for me long ago. Jesus died for me long ago on the hillside far away. He was tortured and slain. God bless his holy name. Jesus died for me long ago. What pain he suffered there, the Holy One is so dear. Notice the Holy One is so dear. Recognize him both God and man. And the original version of it is written as Holy One in capital letters. So that you and I could live, I'll try to repay him his suffering that day Jesus died for me long ago. Well, we can't repay his suffering, but the songwriter didn't necessarily have much doctrine. Jesus died for me long ago on the hillside far away. He was tortured and slain. God bless his holy name. Jesus died for me long ago. As he hung there all alone, his life's blood almost gone, he never stopped praying for me. So I'll follow all the way and live with him someday. Jesus died for me all along. Jesus died for me long ago. On the hillside far away, he was tortured and slain. God bless his holy name. Jesus died for me long ago. We don't know exactly when the song was written. It was copyrighted in 1950. It had been written sometime before that. And the writer of that song is Hank Williams Sr., just known as Hank Williams in those days. Hank Williams Sr., died at 29 years of age for a heart attack caused by a mixture of whiskey, morphine that was given him for the back pains. He had back surgery just a year before, and then after we reached the point he could hardly walk. And all before that, he lived in pain for years. He was, by modern terms, an acute alcoholic. It had been. He took his first drink of whiskey by his own admission when he was somewhere around 8 to 10 years old, probably closer to 8 than to 10. But if he believed what he put in that song, that Jesus died for him, shed his blood for him, he represented the blood work of Christ. You have to have all the doctrinal details to be saved. Blood work represents the fact that Christ died for us. Then I have to concede that I will probably see him in heaven one day. If he believed what he put in that song, he probably did. Long before he wrote that song, he wrote a song called Calling You. When you strayed from the fold and there's trouble in your soul, can't you hear the blessed Savior calling you? Your soul is lost in sin, and you're at your journey's end. Can't you hear the blessed Savior calling you, calling you, calling you? Can't you hear the blessed Savior calling you? Take you by the hand, lead you to the promised land. Can't you hear the blessed Savior calling you? As you journey day by day and temptation comes your way, can't you hear the blessed Savior calling you? If you follow in His light, He will always guide you right. Can't you hear the blessed Savior calling you, calling you, calling you? Can't you hear the blessed Savior calling you? He will take you by the hand, lead you to that promised land. Can't you hear the blessed Savior calling you? When your soul is burdened down and your friends cannot be found, can't you hear the blessed Savior calling you? If you follow Him each day, He will brighten up your way. Can't you hear the blessed Savior calling you, calling you, calling you? Can't you hear the blessed Savior calling you? He will take you by the hand, lead you to that promised land. Can't you hear the blessed Savior calling you? As far as living the Christian life was concerned, maybe part of the guilt and the problems that he battled all of his life and his pain and misery might have been from understanding something like that, because he also wrote a song called, "Would you lend a helping hand to some poor sinner man? Are you walking and a-talking for the Lord? Would you stop and try to save, or your journey to the grave? On your journey to the grave, are you walking and talking for the Lord? Are you walking? Are you talking? Are you walking and talking for the Lord? Are you traveling in His light every day and every night? Are you walking and talking for the Lord? If your soul said testify with the world, here you reply, are you walking and talking for the Lord? Will you stop and shout His name or bow your head in shame? Are you walking and talking for the Lord? Are you walking? Are you talking? Are you walking and talking for the Lord? Are you traveling in His light every day and every night? Are you walking and talking in the Lord? When the time has come to go, will your road be white as snow? Are you walking and talking for the Lord? Will you take? Will He take you by the hand, lead you to the promised land? Are you walking and talking for the Lord? Are you walking? Are you talking? Are you walking and talking for the Lord? Are you traveling in His light every day and every night? Are you walking and talking for the Lord? Songs with a message about them. Songs are a lot more doctrinal sometimes than songs I hear sung in churches. Jesus died for me reflects the fact that Jesus had to die to pay for our sins. Calling you shows that if God the Father doesn't reach out to us, we can't make it. Now, I brought those out for you for illustration of something. An issue. That believers can stumble and fall. As it says, Hank Williams wrote some songs. If he meant what he put in those songs, we'll see him in heaven today. Some of you may not even know he is, but he's one of the original members of the Country Music Hall of Fame. So, millions of records after he died, was the top singer in the country in country music when he died. The songs he wrote crossed over in the pop field and were star hits for a number of people in pop music. Another country music hall of famer by the name of Ernest Tubb, whose life has ups and downs. Ernest Tubb only went to school 17 months during his entire life at formal school, born in Texas, on February the 9th, 1914. Ernest walked an aisle in a Baptist church. He was 14 years old on the 7th day of September, 1928. in a little country church down in Texas that professed faith in Jesus Christ as his personal Savior, was baptized in the church. His mother was a Christian. Now, whether Ernest was absolutely born again or not, I don't know. He wrote a song one time called The Right Train to Heaven. I don't have the words in front of you to give it to you, and it's not a song that I memorized the words to years ago because I never had the opportunity to many years ago when I was learning a lot of songs that way. It stuck in my mind. But I want to alert you as Christian warriors to the reality of life. We understand that we have two natures. It's very important that every Christian believer should understand what the scriptures teach as to the two natures because of the lack of knowledge of the dual nature of a newborn soul. Many a new convert, born again believer of Jesus Christ, after rejoicing for a while in this newfound hope, and suddenly awakening to the fact that his old flesh and inclinations are dead, he is led to believe he was never saved. Disheartened and discouraged, he begins to drift and finally backslide. Some of them get saved over and over again when some idiot convinces them they never got saved that way. When Nicodemus made his night visit to Jesus in John chapter 3, let's open your Bibles to John chapter 3 a moment. Teaching you this at this point, Christian warrior thing, because I'm training you to be alert to help other Christians. And the first thing you do is to pray for them. Ephesians 6:18, and watch for them and pray for them, we point out to you. If you're going to fulfill your spiritual life destiny and have impact in history, you have to learn, among other things, to be a praying warrior. Ephesians 6:18 makes you that with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit with this in view. Be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. You're going to be alert for all the saints and be praying for them. Keep them in your mind. John chapter 3. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. He was a member of the Sanhedrin. Perfectly represented the aristocracy, well-intentioned but unenlightened Judaism for his day. Sanhedrin was the ruling body in Israel and in agreement with the Roman government and Pilate. They ruled over a lot of things. The Roman government ruled over other things. Herod in his territorial areas ruled over other things. There was a lot of close facility of government down there in different ways. And it's important for us to understand some of these things. Sanhedrin consisted of 70 or 72 elders and teachers of the nation. They held. They were the rulers, and they represented the power of government over the religious affairs of Israel and over the cultural affairs of Israel. Yeah. Strict adherence to the law, dominated by Pharisees with a doctors of law degree. Paul became a member of it. Nicodemus was an original member of it. Paul was a member of it because he said he consented to the death of Stephen, meaning that he voted for Stephen's death as a Sanhedrin. Here was this ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher. For no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with you. Jesus answered and said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Born again from above means both born again and being born from above, so I use the two together. Look down at 331. He who comes from above is above all, and he who is of the earth is of the earth and speaks the earth. He who comes from heaven is above all. He who comes is the Son of Man, the person of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. John 19:11. Jesus said you would have no authority over me unless it was given you from above. For this reason, he delivered me to you as the greatest sin. God the Father was permitting Christ to be delivered up to die for our sins, as Acts teaches us. Now, Jesus said unto him, you must be born again. You can't see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said in him, verse 4, how can a man be born when he is old? He can't enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born again. Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed, I say this unto you, the wind bloweth where it listeth. You hear the sound of it, but do not know where it cometh from and where it is going. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Born again, words in John's Gospel are combined in translation to be born again anew, be born anew. The new birth of regeneration. Look at Titus 3:5. He saved us on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy by the washing of regeneration, the renewing of the by the Holy Spirit. I'm sorry. My eyes twisted on my glass and saw that the word not in butter important personal salvation not achieved through good deeds, but through the cleansing of the new birth. Renewing by the Holy Spirit means either the initial act of conversion or possibly continued renewal by the Spirit throughout the life of the believer, Charles Ryrie said. Salvation, remember, this is always the Father's work of grace. It is not a work reward for man's worthwhile acts. Human good does not save us. For by grace are you saved through faith, Ephesians 2, 8-9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. This is the gift of God, not of work. Lest any man should boast. One of the waters of the Spirit, we point out to you before, it does not refer to baptism as a requirement for salvation, because this would contrast directly with and contradict Ephesians 2, 8-9, which I just quoted to you. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. John's baptism was a baptism of an act of repentance. Repentance, metanoia, is a change of mental attitude. You can't believe in Christ without changing mental attitude for the fact that I'm lost. I don't know I'm lost, and don't believe I'm lost, don't believe I need a Savior. So I know I'm lost, I know I need a Savior, and Christ is the only one who can save me. Some think it refers to the natural birth, specifically the fluid released when the amniotic sac breaks prior to labor. Thus, it means unless one is born the first time by water, the second time by the Spirit. But John 15:3 teaches us something. It means the Word of God. Look at John 15:3. You are already clean because of the Word which I have spoken to you. The Word is what saves us. It is symbolically a synonym for the Holy Spirit, but it's also symbolic of the Word of God. Ephesians chapter 5 shows the symbolism of the water to the Word. Verse 26, so you might satisfy us, having cleansed her by the washing of water, with the Word. The Word of God is what cleanses us. All right, so you must be born again, all right? You're born again, I assume you would be listening to these Bible classes. Born again. We're born again the same way. We're saved by faith in Christ, plus nothing. If Hank Williams Sr. is in heaven. I hope and think that he is because he believes in Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. His life doesn't reflect the Christian life. I'll be the first to concede. If Ernest Stubbs actually believed in Christ when Ernest Stubbs walked in the aisle and was talked to about salvation, as a 14-year-old boy down there in Texas, he's in heaven today too. You gotta understand some things. It's not what we do and act. It's whether we believe in Christ as our personal Savior and believe that He died for our sins and believe that He had will and has saved us. Once saved once and for all. Now, when Nicodemus made his came in there, he was told, except you be born of the water and the Word. Look at 1 Peter 1:23. Be born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. We are saved by the word of God, which abideth forever. James 1:8. James 1:8. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. I'm sorry, when James 1:18, I didn't read it right. Of his own will, he begat us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creature. Who begat us? Verse 17, for context, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and given down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variability, the shadow of turning. Of his own will, he begat us, yes, with the word of truth, that we should be kinds of first fruits of his creature. The Father begat us, we were born again, we're his children, and caught us through his word. John 1:12, I should say, to start with. But as many as received him, them gave he the power to become the sons of God, and in the Greek, the children of God, even them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. We're born again. Not of blood, human blood, nor of the will of the flesh, not by our own desire. Will of man, but of God. Now, so we're born of the water, which represents the Word of God, and by the Spirit of God. If not, you can't enter the kingdom of God, John 3:5. He gave the reason why, for that which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the spirit is spirit, John 3:6. Here we see two lines of heredity. The flesh line comes from the nature of corruption, the old sin nature, and the spirit line, which comes from the new human spirit. The spiritual speaks of the first as a natural man, the second as a spiritual man. Of a natural man, the scripture says that his understanding is darkened, Ephesians 4:18. Look at Ephesians 4:18. Having the understanding being darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their hearts. Aren't they alienated from God? They're blind in their hearts to God. Their understanding is darkened. He cannot really see, even as perceive, the spiritual things of God, but they can only be spiritually discerned, as seen in 1 Corinthians 2:4. It takes the work of the Holy Spirit to make the gospel real in the life of someone. We've taught that many times in the year. 1 Corinthians 2:14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, but they are foolish unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Paul, as we have seen, divides the Adamic human race into three classes of people. The psychikos, from the Greek, psychikos, is those of the senses, James 3:15 and Jude 19. James 3:15, the wisdom descended not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. Jude 19. these be those who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. Okay, this is the psychikos man. The natural man, the Adamic man, unrenewed through the new birth. John 3:3-5. Then you have the pneumatikos man, pneumatikos, the spiritual, or the renewed man, the Spirit-filled and walking in the Spirit, full communication with God, Ephesians 5:18-20. Be not drunk with wine, where excess be ye filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the renewed man in his Spirit filled is in communion with God. And we have the sarkikos, S-A-R-K-I-K-O-S, the carnal fleshly, the renewed man who walketh after the flesh and remains a babe in Christ, 1 Corinthians 3:1-4. I, brethren, could not speak unto you as in the spiritual, but as in the carnal, even as in the babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk, not with meat, but here do you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able, for you are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envy and strife and division, are ye not carnal, and walk as a man. Now, when he walks after the flesh, he remains a babe in Christ. A natural man may be learned, very intellectual, gentle, eloquent, fascinating, cultured. The spiritual context of Scripture is absolutely hidden from him. And the fleshly or carnal Christian is able to comprehend only the various I, brethren, cannot speak unto you as in the spiritual, as in the carnal, even in the babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hereunto you were not able to eat. Mary, did ye, and are you able to do? Now, the unbeliever is a child of wrath, Ephesians 2:1-3. You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Whereas in times past you walked, notice this, according to the course of this world, their lifestyle is after the world system. According to the prince of the power there, right there, in accordance with Satan's will for them. The spirit that now worketh. The children of disobedience. Alright, they were the influence of the spirit of disobedience. Among whom also we had all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So the connection is seen there, all the way to the children of wrath. The difference is, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, when he has saved us, when he has loved us, even when we were dead, sins hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. Raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus.